Well, good morning, Crossroads. I invite you to take your Bible in hand. If you would, please turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 29 this morning. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and while you're turning there, let me just say a few brief words of intro. Again, I want to thank Pastor Alex for inviting me to come preach. It is a joy. It is a joy for a preacher to fill in the pulpit and to be able to bring God's word to God's people. And so I'm so happy to be here this morning. Secondly, I am Mark Moore. I just finished pastoring over in Okinawa, Japan. So we learned about Papua New Guinea. And if you go then north of there to the very southern tip of Japan, we're actually much closer to Taiwan. That's where my family, Jennifer and the kids, we were serving over there from 2009 to just last summer. We were able to find a replacement for me. Pastor Miguel recently graduated from seminary, and now he's taking the mantle there in Okinawa and continuing the wonderful ministry that we have to our U.S. service members there, members of the United States Marine Corps, the Air Force, the Army, the Navy. In fact, one of your own members here, Peter Cobble, is one of my former congregants there. And Peter had many, many wonderful times of fellowship with my family and I there in Okinawa. So it is a joy to be here. Well, you know, when I went out to Okinawa, we knew it was going to be expensive. You know, I'm sure Amy experiences, you know, going overseas, it is not cheap. It does require financial resources. The church had already been meeting for a number of years without a pastor. They were a home church. They were saving. They were tithing. And they already had about $100,000 saved to bring me over as the very first pastor of Okinawa Covenant Church. And yet, we were doing the math, and we realized from the cost of shipping goods and airplane tickets and then starting the ministry, and then it's a, you know, initially a small congregation. It's going to take time to build it up. We basically predicted that certainly for the first 2 years, there would be a negative decline of our overall bank account. And then we were praying and trusting the Lord that after that, we'd see the finances start to go back up again. Well, I know when I got out there, well, it was basically that. I was just excited to preach the gospel. I'm out there preaching the gospel to the troops. And we did see the finances going down as we knew. But I'd say about a year and a half in, it was getting pretty low. And this new pastor was getting pretty nervous. And so I called up my mentor, the man who had gotten me the job, Pastor Doug Hudson, Southeast Alabama Presbytery. And I'm like, Pastor Doug, you got to help me out here. I'm freaking out because the finances are getting low. I'm preaching the gospel. You know, I'm preaching Jesus. What's going on here? And, of course, Pastor Doug, very wise man. And he's asked me a very simple question. He said, Mark, have you preached on stewardship in the year and a half that you've been there? And I was like, no, I haven't. And he's like, well, Mark, I think we found an answer. Why don't you start there and teach God's people what God's word says about the topic of stewardship? And as God is my witness, I took 2 Sundays to start looking into the scriptures, digging into the scriptures. What does God say about this topic of stewardship? And I preached those 2 sermons. And by the very 3rd week, instead of the money of the church going here, it immediately went like this for a couple weeks. And then it started going like this. And it continued like that year after year afterwards. And every year, I made a lesson there, preach about the topic of stewardship. And Pastor Alex, when he invited me to preach, I said, well, what do you want me to preach on? He said, actually, anything you want to preach on. And so I looked at the calendar, and I saw that today is the 2nd Sunday of the new year. Well, back at OCC, this is what we would do on the 2nd Sunday of the new year. 1st Sunday, I'd normally preach some New Year's sermon. 2nd Sunday would be our stewardship service. And then the next week after that, get back into an expositional study of some book of the Bible. And so why do we study stewardship? We study stewardship because God has a lot to say about our tithes and offerings. And not just that with what we do with the church, but really every single thing that God gives us, he makes us stewards. And what is a steward? It is one who is caretaker over something that belongs to another. And so God, the one who owns everything, he is the one who has given us a small portion to be a caretaker on his behalf. And he gives us instructions about that. You know, as I look back, once I did finally start preaching about stewardship, I preached one Sunday every year. It's been about, I think about 12, 13 years now that I've been preaching about stewardship. And I have to say, though, even preaching once, 13 times in the past 13 years, the truth is that talking about the topic of stewardship, even 13 times, is less than the Lord Jesus talked about the topic himself. Because he talked about it more in just 3 years. In fact, 16 of the 38 parables that Jesus told had to do with the subject of man's possessions, his wealth, or his money, or his attitude about those things. In fact, throughout the entirety of the four Gospels, an amazing 1 out of every 6 verses deals with the subjects of man's possessions and his use of them. And so as I did this study of the scriptures, I realized that in fact, actually Christ talked more about money and possessions than he did about any other single theme, even more than he talked about heaven itself. And so if my coverage of this topic in my own ministry is less than Jesus covered it, at least today, at a minimum, here's one Sunday that has been set aside for us here at Crossroads to look into God's word and think about what this topic, what God has to say about the topic of stewardship. Now, before we pray and read this passage, I do have a question that I want you to be asking yourself as we read through this passage of scripture. And the question is simply this. What are the reasons that you give in your own charity and your own giving to the church? Why? Why do you do it? What reasons do you give? Well, our scripture passage today, as we read through it, particularly in verses 5 and 9, 12 and 14, we're going to see what God points us to here as to biblical reasons for why we give. But before we read it, let's now go before the Lord and pray for his blessing in this time in his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is your word that we come to, and because it is your word, we know that it is inspired. It is breathed out of your very mouth. And because it is your word, we know it is infallible, it is inerrant, it is authoritative, it is the final rule of faith and practice in the lives of all believers. Lord, because it is your word, we know that this is a word that is profitable. It is a word that is edifying to the saints. And Lord, we know that as we study, we read your word, it is a sufficient guide to us in living out the Christian life. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would now open these scriptures to us, that you would guide us in our own stewardship and in our giving, that you would guide us from your word. And Lord, that you would indeed open our eyes to your word this morning to behold all of the wonderful things in it. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is God's word in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning in verse 1. We'll read through verse 14. And David the king said to all the assembly, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great. For the palace will not be for man, but for the Lord God. So I have provided for the house of my God so far as I was able, the gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, and the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, and the wood for the things of wood, besides great quantities of onyx and stones for setting, antimony, colored stones, all sorts of precious stones and marble. Moreover, in addition to all that, I have provided for the holy house. I have a treasure of my own of gold and silver. And because of my devotion to the house of my God, I give it to the house of my God. 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, for overlaying the walls of the house and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Gold for the things of gold and silver for the things of silver. Who then will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to the Lord? Then the leaders of fathers' houses made their free will offerings, as did also the leaders of the tribes, the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and the officers over the king's work. They gave for the service of the house of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord in the care of Jehiel the Gershonite. And then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you." Amen. This is God's holy and inspired and inerrant word. This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, friends, so what is your answer to the question? What are the reasons that you have given in the past? What are the reasons that you give today? Why do you give to the church? Well, certainly there are many good and legitimate biblical reasons for why it is that we are to be a giving people as Christians. One may be that you believe that the Bible teaches that it is the responsibility of the believer to give to the work of the Lord, to support the work and the worship of the church materially. And of course, that certainly is a good answer. I remember from very young ages of our children, when we had first gotten over there in Okinawa, and our firstborn was only about 4 years old, our twins were one, and of course Micah wasn't even part of the family yet at that point. But I remember from very young ages, my wife Jennifer and I, we wanted to teach our kids about the importance of giving and the stewardship principle of the tithe. Now what is the word tithe? Anybody here know what that word means? What does tithe? It's kind of an old English word. I don't know if we really use it much anymore other than the context of church, but it is an old English word. The word tithe simply means tenth. it means a tenth. So the idea that we take the first 10% of whatever God gives us and we give it directly back to Him. And so for years, even as our children would earn a small commission, perhaps performing certain jobs or chores that Mom and I had for them, we would teach them that to make sure that they would set aside money for giving. They'd set aside their very first portion, their tithe, for giving. They'd set aside a second portion for savings, and then the rest for their spending. And in fact, for the parents, I see we have some parents of young children here in the congregation. Just as a piece of practical advice, it's something I'd offer to you. Maybe if you have children who are of an age where they're starting to do a little bit of work, that they're earning a little bit of money for, you might want to consider, if you don't already, to have your child get three envelopes. You can have an envelope and write on the front, giving. A second envelope, you write on the front, saving. And then a third envelope that you write on the front, spending. And then as your children make a little bit of money, they put that first dollar or the first 10% of whatever they make into the giving envelope, and then so forth. And it is a wonderful way to teach our children the importance of this lesson, because we want our children to understand that as members of the church, that we do have an obligation to support the church in its worship and work to the best of our abilities. That it is really not an option not to give, but it is in fact a Christian responsibility. But certainly if responsibility was the only thing that we were focused on, the only reason for giving, I think our reasons perhaps would be a bit imbalanced, because actually the Bible has a whole lot to say about our reasons for giving. Maybe another reason you have, may have answered in your own mind, is because again you do realize that the church does very much have very practical material need for support. In other words, you realize that if you don't give money, the church isn't going to be able to carry out its mission of gathering and perfecting the saints. And so because you want the church to be able to fulfill its mission, the mission of gathering, going out, evangelizing the lost, sharing the good news of Jesus, bringing people into the church, and then the perfecting, as they come in, it's the building up, it's edifying them, building them up as Christians, or the perfecting of the saints. The church, you realize, just wouldn't be able to pursue its mission to nearly the same extent if its members were not generous in their giving. And so if that is a reason that you give, again, that is also a very good reason. Sometimes people just give money to the church because there are certain ministries of the church that they particularly have a heart for. There's some ministry that it's involved in. Maybe it's the cell group ministry or fellowship ministry or evangelism ministry, or maybe what you do with your children when they reach that age where it's time for them to go through a communicants class. And maybe you just so appreciate your children having a course to be able to go through a communicants class as they prepare to take communion. And so it leads you in your heart to want to give to the church so that those ministries will be provided for. Well, listen, all of those reasons are certainly legitimate reasons as to why we give. But as we look at our scripture passage, I want us this morning to focus in here on four things that our passage teaches us here, four things that we can learn. And the very first thing that I want you to see is really quite obvious if you take a look at verse 9. Look again with me now at 1 Chronicles 29, verse 9. Notice how our text says there, "Then the people rejoiced because," I want you to listen to this, "because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord." All right, so did you hear the emphasis there that the scripture's pointing out? The emphasis there is that they had given willingly, that with a whole heart they had given freely. And so here is an emphasis we see on the fact that they gave because they wanted to. They gave because they wanted to. They gave because they desired to. They did not give because they were merely under some sort of burdensome compulsion. But God's people here actually wanted to give. And you see in the text, that is so important to David, because that's how David wanted God's people to come to give their offerings to the Lord. David made it clear as he was preparing for the building of the temple that he wanted the people to give willingly. He wanted the attitude of their heart to say, I rejoice in being able to give this, and I want to give this offering to the Lord. The last thing David wanted was for the people to have an attitude of heart where when the offering plate comes by, they're like, oh no, here's the offering plate. I guess I got to put something into it. No, David wanted his people to absolutely rejoice and to want to do that. You know, sometimes we find ourselves, don't we, in life, doing things we don't want to do, or having to give when we don't want to give. Maybe sometimes that may be true of you as the offering plate is coming around. You're like, you know, I'm just not in the mood for giving. I don't want to give. Or maybe, if you're like me, I remember back in Okinawa, I haven't been in America long enough to know how, prevalent this is outside of big stores, but I know at the base exchange on Kadena Air Base, there'd often be civic groups, youth groups, Girl Scouts selling their cookies. There'd be some, a charitable organization, trying to get money for their various purposes. And, you know, sometimes you're kind of in a hurry and you don't just really want to give anything, do you? And yet you see the sweet little children out there and you kind of feel a little bit guilty, you know. Sometimes we find ourselves in that position when we don't really want to give. But here is David. And David is saying, guys, I don't want you to be like that. Not when it comes here to giving to the purposes of the Lord's church. I don't want you grumbling inside. You know, sometimes we do that also, not just with stores, but online. You might go online, you're buying it. I just had to buy an airline ticket. Next week I'm going down to Tampa to preach at the funeral of my uncle. And you find that online. You're looking at a price, you're like, oh, that's a great price. But then by the time you end up clicking purchase, all the government taxes and fees, you're like, hey, wait a minute, how did it get this expensive? And you find yourself grumbling about what you're having to pay. But again, David here, he didn't want God's people to be grumbling about what they were doing. He wanted them to actually want to give what they were giving in the building of the temple. And you know, as you think about it here, we as Christians, when we think about the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, what did Paul say to the Corinthians? He explicitly said to them in the Corinthians, to the Corinthians, he said, don't give grudgingly as under compulsion, but with a whole heart, give with joy, cheerfully, because God loves a cheerful giver. And so right there we see the Apostle Paul simply reapplying the same lesson we see here in 1 Chronicles 29. That is the principles that Christian giving is a matter of the heart, and therefore it is a giving that we ought to delight in and take great joy in being able to give. Friends, that is so, so important. And by the way, when you hear that, don't think that that is some sort of a contradiction in the fact that Christian giving is a responsibility. Okay? Again, just as I taught my children their whole lives, giving is a responsibility. But Jesus makes it very clear in the New Testament. He makes it very clear to his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount that his followers will give, but that as they give, they should give cheerfully. Well, certainly that giving is a responsibility. Also, it is to be desired. One of the keys to the Christian life is understanding that really we ought to want to do what we ought to do. In fact, you know, really when we think about the very topic of Christian freedom consists not in the fact that Christians no longer have any commands that they have to obey, but that by the work of the Spirit in our lives, more and more, we actually want to do the very work that God has set aside for us to do in our lives. And I think probably a number of you here can identify with that. you've experienced that in your own life. Maybe there have been areas in your life where you've struggled perhaps for a long time, either wanting to do something you ought not want to do or not wanting to do something that you know you ought to do. And then over time, over the work of God's Spirit, the grace of the Holy Spirit brings you to a point in your Christian life where in certain areas you can honestly say before the Lord, it is my joy now to do this, not simply because I'm supposed to, but because I truly want to do it. And my friends, listen to me. When you get there, as all of us get there through this lifelong sanctification process, that's when we're free. That is when we are truly free from that struggle that has been going on in our heart. And that is the kind of freedom that we are to have in giving. We are to want to do what we ought to do. And that is why Christian giving is a matter of the heart. And so one reason that we are to give is because we want to. Our hearts are whole. We are a people who delight in the Lord. We want to give to His work. And that heart attitude is very important. And my friends, you will miss out on the blessings that are involved in giving if your own heart attitude is not there. And so that's one of the reasons that we give. We give because we want. But the second reason that we encounter in our passage here, it's back in verse 5. Take a look at the last sentence in that verse. You'll see that Christian giving is also a part of our Christian discipleship. It's a part of our consecrating ourselves to God as His follower. In fact, it is a very part of being a follower of Christ, of being a Christian, a disciple in His church. Take a look there in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 5. There in the middle of a section where it's talking about all the amounts of the gold and the silver that people gave to the building of the temple as they're all being listed, there is a very interesting exhortation by David there. And look at what he says. He says, who then will offer willingly? Okay, again, there's that language that you find down in verse 9. They're going to offer it willingly. But then look at what he says next. It's fascinating to me. He says, consecrating himself today to the Lord. And when I stop and I think about that, that fascinates me because it's very interesting language. Because when you start hearing the word consecration, that is Old Testament language that is usually involved with the priest involved in the temple work. Consecration is the language used of particularly the ordination of Old Testament priests. You find it, for example, in the book of Exodus, chapter 28, verse 41. So when an Old Testament priest was ordained, he was consecrated into the service of the Lord, indicating that everything that he had, his very life, his gifts, his talents, everything that priest possessed, it was all devoted to the Lord. But you see, when we think about that in the Old Testament context, the only people who could be consecrated as priests were Israelites of the tribe of Levi. Those were the only people who could be consecrated as a priest. But here David speaks of those who are giving to the temple as offering willingly and consecrating themselves to the Lord. And so here you almost find like an Old Testament version of the reformational principle of the priesthood of all believers. He's saying here, when you give willingly to the building of the temple, it is as if you are consecrating yourself to be holy to the Lord, that you are going to serve as His priest. And certainly no doubt the idea is that through your giving to the building of this temple, you're actually facilitating the priestly work of the priest who will actually work in the temple doing its services. But I think it's just fascinating how David, he doesn't say consecrate your gift to the Lord. He says consecrate yourself. And I think that is a very important thing for us to understand in this topic of stewardship. We give because we are disciples of the Lord. We are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do disciples do? They follow their Lord. They follow their master. They follow their master in learning, and they follow their master in how they live, and they follow their master in their very loyalty to him. They want to learn what the master has to teach them. They want to think the way that the master thinks. They want to know what the master knows. They want to believe what the master believes. And they also then want to live the very way that their master lives. And they want to be loyal to their master as the most important thing to them in all the world. And that is what it means to be consecrated in service to the master. And that is what it means for all of us as Christians, to be Christian disciples, that giving is a part of that discipleship. In fact, if you would, I want you to turn with me just to one other portion of scripture. Turn with me, if you would, in the New Testament to the book of Romans, and turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We could probably turn to lots of passages, but I believe the clearest passage in the New Testament of what we're talking about here can be found right here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. What does Paul say in Romans 12, 1? He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, you see, saints, what would you do in the Old Testament times? What would you do? You would bring a sacrifice to the temple, and there that sacrifice would be made. But what is Paul here saying to us believers? He's saying that believers worship not by bringing in some goat or sheep or a sheep or some sort of lamb, but that believers offer themselves to God as living sacrifices, that we are offering our lives to the Lord and consecrating ourselves into his service. You know, I love the hymnal. We would always sing from the Trinity hymnal back at OCC. And one of the hymns there is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And I love the stanza, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And I think that stanza there in that beautiful hymn, it's pointing to this picture of what it means to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. It's saying, Lord, your gospel is so great, your grace to me is so great, that the only way I can respond to that is to simply give myself back to you. That if I owned all the stuff in the world, Lord, even that would not be enough to give to you, because I have to give myself, my all to you. That is the kind of consecration that 1 Chronicles 29:5 is speaking of. That is the kind of consecration that Romans chapter 12, 1 is talking about. And my friends, again, our giving is a part of that discipleship. So understand that when we give, that giving is a token that reminds us that the whole of our life, the whole of our heart, the whole of our self is consecrated to God. And my friends, I think that is worth thinking about. It's worth thinking about when we give our tithes and offerings during the course of a worship service on a weekly basis, to be thinking, Lord, as I give this gift this morning is a token of the fact that I am your disciple, that I fully belong to you, that everything I have is yours. And in response to what you've done for me, I give myself to you. I'm consecrated to you. And friends, Christian giving, that is a part of discipleship. We give because we are disciples. But we also give, and here's the third reason we see in our text, we also give because we are stewards. And that comes from verse 14. Go ahead and take a look down. Just a few verses from verse 9 to 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. And you'll see this phrase at the end of the verse. It's the very last sentence in verse 14. It says, for all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. Okay, so you see what David's saying there? He's saying everything that we gave to build the temple, well, God, it actually came from you in the very first place. It belongs to you. And so everything that we have to give is already what you have given to us. And therefore, he realizes this extremely important biblical principle of stewardship, and that is that everything we give back to God, it is because he has already given us everything else. You know, again, there's a beautiful hymn that we would often sing back at OCC. It's, "But we give thee but thine own." And again, I think that hymn beautifully points to this idea that everything that we have as a stewardship from God. And again, it doesn't just, of course, refer to the money that we give to the church or, you know, sometimes I know this church has been in the process of a stewardship campaign. And sometimes when we hear the word stewardship, we simply think about something very limited about that. But really, stewardship has to do with everything, the way that we use everything that God has given us, because everything he's given us, we hold as a stewardship from him. Well, Christian giving is certainly a part of being a steward. And so one of the reasons that we give is because we are stewards. And surely one of the things that a good steward would do is to use that the very stewardship that the Lord has given him or to her to support the very mission of the Lord's church. Well, this brings us to the very last thing that we see in our text this morning. Christian giving, we see from our text, is also a part of what gives us joy. It's what gives us joy. That's the fourth thing that I want you to see from our passage this morning. We give not only because we want to. We give not only because we are disciples. We give not only because we are stewards. But we give because it is also an important part of the joy that God wants us to experience as his disciples. Take a look there at the first and the last parts of 1 Chronicles 29, verse 9. It begins by saying, "Then the people rejoiced." And you ought to ask the question, why? Why did they rejoice? And it tells us, because they had given willingly. And so the result of their free, willing giving, the result is that they rejoiced. The people of God rejoiced. And then at the end of the verse, look what we're told, that David the king also rejoiced greatly. In other words, their giving resulted in rejoicing. They delighted and rejoiced in the giving they had done. You see, these were people who understood that in their ability to give, it was a joy. They counted it a joy. They counted it a privilege to give to the building of the temple. And therefore, they rejoiced having given. And you know, friends, when it comes to our giving, when it comes to our giving is also intended to bring and to be a part of that joy that God intends for us. You know, the scriptures tell us that Jesus came that our joy might be made complete. And part of the joy that God intends for his people is in the very act of our giving. Take a look down again at verse 14. Read the last part of that verse. Well, we've already read the last part, but take a look at the first part. David says this. He says, "But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly?" And so here you see David. And David, he's reflecting on these things. And he's reflecting about all that had been given to the temple. And his conclusion is, "Oh Lord, who are we to have had the privilege to be able to participate in what your kingdom is doing and how your kingdom is advancing? And here we get to participate in that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that we get to be a part of that." And so you understand, David realized there was nothing in himself that made him to deserve receiving this joy. He realized it was God's free grace, that it was a privilege, that he was bringing David to participate in this joy of the Lord. And so for David, he was struck by this privilege that he had been given this wonderful task of participating in the construction of the temple of the Lord. And you know what? That is exactly how a believer looks at her or at his giving. My friends, as I close here, I want to make a promise to you. And some of the older people in the congregation will know exactly what I'm talking about here. The promise is this, that as you go through this life and you are blessed to be involved in a faithful, gospel-centered, evangelical church, I promise you, you are never going to regret having given to the Lord's work through that church. Now, you may regret looking back not having given more than you did, but I promise you'll never regret that you gave to Christ Church. Guys, think just for a moment of all the things in the course of your life that you've spent good money on, things that you look back later on in life and that investment didn't turn out so well, or I guess that big boat just really ended up being a big hassle that I didn't really need after all. Those big ticket items, maybe they didn't pan out. Maybe they didn't make you as happy as you thought that they would. Well, friends, again, as long as the church is being faithful with God's money, I promise you, it is one investment that you will never regret in the fact that you gave. And in fact, it will be one of your greatest joys as you look back in your life. Why such joy? It really shouldn't surprise us. What does the Bible say? The Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. There is a special blessing. There is a holy happiness, if you will, that is experienced in giving that is even better than receiving the help and the aid of others. There's a special blessing in being able to give. Instead of being destitute, instead of being impoverished, unable to bless others, to have been given so much that we now are able to give back, to give to God, to give to others. My friends, there is a special blessing. There is a joy in it. And that is what David is reflecting on when he says, "Oh God, who are we? Who are we that we should have such an honor and a privilege to be able to give so generously?" No wonder they were rejoicing at the thought that they had been given this privilege of worshiping God in this way. My friends, again, I don't know all of the needs of this church. I did hear very briefly from Pastor Alex that this church has been so faithful, that through the years there have been so many members of this church who have exactly lived out the very biblical principles I've been preaching of here. And on behalf of Pastor Alex and the session of this church, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for 2022. Thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord in how you gave to Crossroads PCA. But as we go into 2023, and with inflation being what it is, and with the various ministries of the church that are needed to be performed, and I'm sure you'll be talking about that more in the meeting that you'll be having here shortly, there will always be needs. And so, please, I ask you, continue being faithful in your stewardship. Give because you want to. Okay, if your heart isn't delighting in giving, if you don't have the desire that the Bibles talk about, then just pray. Pray, ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to give you that joy, that desire, that want to be able to give. So we give because we want. We give because we are disciples. We realize that disciples have consecrated all of themselves, their whole lives to the Lord, and our giving is just a token of that. Give because you are a steward. You realize that everything comes from God. And so surely part of what has been given to you is to be used for the mission of the church. And then lastly, give because it is a joy. Give for the joy of giving. As Paul says, be a cheerful giver. Oh, friends, what a blessing the Lord has in store for us in 2023 as we look to his word and continue to live as faithful disciples. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We do thank you for your word. It is precious to us. Lord, we pray that you would enable us to take heart to this very teaching of your word, that we likewise, just as the ancient Israelites in David's day, just as the Christians that Paul admonished in Corinth in Paul's day, that we would also have a desire to do this, to not give grudgingly, not simply out of some sense of compulsion, but Lord, in all our opportunities of giving, we would give willingly and freely and with a whole heart. And Lord, I pray that you would grant to the members of this congregation a special joy in what they give to you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.